What's going to happen in Delaware? We want to get a little perspective on that, and as well as the issue, you know, the signing of the Paris Agreement the other day brings very much to the forefront one of the concerns of our next guest, although not specifically in Paris. But Maya Van Rossum is the leader of DRN, the Delaware Riverkeeper Network. She has joined us before and is joining us now. She tweets at Del Riverkeeper. Maya, welcome back. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
So what are the big issues for voters in Delaware? I'm kind of curious right now.
Well, actually, I'm sitting in Pennsylvania, right? The Delaware River watershed includes New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. In the state of Delaware, water quality is very much a hot issue these days. There's a lot of discussion that goes on at the state level about how to best protect water quality in the state of Delaware. In Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, drilling and fracking issues are very much high priority. So there's already been voting in New York, but Pennsylvania and New Jersey are very much in the offing right now. And energy issues, drilling, fracking, and the pipelines that are cutting through communities to support them are very much hot topics.
Kind of curious, because if I'm not mistaken, Pennsylvania, it's possible there is fracking, right? But across the border in New York, it's not. You can actually have towns, cities, counties that are neighboring one another where it can be legal in one and not in the other, correct?
That's correct. And in fact, in the Delaware River watershed, we also have a moratorium against drilling and fracking. So even within Pennsylvania, while you have drilling and fracking really devastating communities in central and western Pennsylvania, in the eastern part of the state located in the Delaware River watershed, our communities are protected because early on we got this moratorium against shale gas extraction, largely because we were able to show that you could not engage in drilling and fracking and protect the water quality of the Delaware River, which is a drinking water supply for 17 million people.
I'm guessing you are not old enough to remember the very first Earth Day. I can confess that I am old enough to remember the very first Earth Day. And I wonder if you know, quite frankly, when it first happened, a little bit of fanfare, and then in later years it got a lot more attention. It seems to have diminished a bit. I wonder if you can give us a sense of where you think that is in the public consciousness these days, because the anniversary was just the other day.
Yeah, and actually, I am old enough to remember the first Earth Day,
okay.
and luckily so. I agree with you. I think these days Earth Day seems to be more of a greenwashing event than, you know, really getting people to turn out in the streets the way they did in 1971. But in more recent years, I think that we're having a resurgence. And I think that that's because the energy industry and the politicians that are serving them and literally bought and paid for by them are really overreaching in how far they're willing to go to devastate communities, to devastate our environment, to devastate public health in order to serve their own profits. And so we did have that massive turnout at the climate march a few years ago. We've got another massive turnout expected in Philadelphia on July 24th as part of another clean energy march, the March for a Clean Energy Revolution. So I think we are having a resurgence, and I think it's because of the overreach of the industry and politicians that are in their pockets that are really hurting people. They're hurting their jobs, they're hurting their health, they're hurting the quality of their lives, and they're hurting the environment that's necessary to serve those of us who are here today, but of course the generations yet to come.
Maya Van Rossum with us, leader of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network, and putting it in context of this 2016 campaign, Maya, I was looking at the back and forth between Senator Bernie Sanders and Secretary Hillary Clinton on these issues. He claims to be a bit more of a purist on these issues. She, not so much, according to him, but she says, you know, I've always supported this kind of approach to the environment. Without necessarily having you to get into the endorsement business, I wonder if you can give us your sense of the distinction between those two.
I think that you've laid it out pretty clearly. I think Senator Sanders and others have been very clear that we need to leave it in the ground if we're going to protect our environment, if we're going to protect ourselves from the devastation of climate change, and that other politicians talk about shale gas and as a bridge fuel to the future. But the fact is, the science is very, very clear. Shale gas, drilling, fracking, and any kind of fossil fuel cannot be used as a bridge to the future if we want to avoid the ravages of climate change. The science at this point that's coming out says that we need to literally leave it in the ground if we want to protect protect our environment moving down the road. And the fact of the matter is, we can easily do that. Clean energy options are here today. we have solar, wind, geothermal. We have good protective water energy technologies. So we can have all the energy we need and clean water and clean air and better jobs and better economies all at the same time. We just need to leave the fossil fuels in the ground and really get on the clean energy bandwagon.
You mentioned a bridge. At what point would those clean technologies provide the same amount of energy and power that the current fossil fuel technologies provide?
So there are a number of studies that are out there that show us how every state in the nation, how the United States, and even how the world can be totally supported by clean energy options by the year 2050. So, you know, and we can be totally supported by 80% by the year 2030. It's just a matter of politicians putting in place the policies, the programs, the regulatory initiatives that will get us there.
So about 35 years, I guess, is what really is that that's the survey, 2050, 35 years, give or take.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if anybody who wants to know how to do it for their state, there's a great website called the solutionsproject.org, and they show you not only how each state can do it, but the incredible savings you get in terms of energy costs for every household, the number of lives that we will save, and the many dramatic ways that we protect our environment and the people of the United States if we would invest in clean energy options today so that we are totally supported by them by the year 2050.
We will see what the candidates, what the voters say for the candidates today. Maya, thank you for joining us on POTUS today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Maya Van Rossum, who is the leader of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network, who's actually in Pennsylvania today, observing the looking at all of the states from her vantage point and discussing the candidates and the context. You know, we had the Earth Day anniversary. We had the Paris Agreement signed at the UN last week. All of those playing out. Senator Sanders and Hillary Clinton more on those issues on the Republican side. The climate always changes, I think, is the quote you hear from Senator Ted Cruz most of the time. And this is what the battle is over, how to make that transition, if that is to be made. But anyway, Maya giving us her expertise and lending it to the conversation this morning. She tweets at Del Riverkeeper. That is D-E-L, as in Delaware Riverkeeper.